A long time ago, when I was in college, I was taking my first sociology class. And one of our tasks, assignments that we had to do, was break a moray. A moray is a law that isn't written down. It's just culturally expected. For example, when you go into a nice restaurant, you put your napkin in your lap, and you use the utensils set before you appropriately, as is expected. To break that moray would be to go in and order a pork chop or a steak, not use your napkin, and just eat it with your fingers and just bite it off. All right? Those are morays. It's not laws that are written down, but they're expected of each one of us, and we're raised knowing and understanding that these are expected of us. So in order for us to truly understand what these unwritten laws are, these unwritten rules, we had to go and break them. That was our assignment, and we had to choose which rules we were going to break. Now, I want you to understand and remember that I am an introvert. The last thing an introvert ever wants to do is to stand out. And every time you break these unwritten laws, you stand out. And I thought, oh my goodness, what am I going to do with this? What is the most subtle thing I can do and not be noticed? But of course, that's not the project. The project is to get noticed. How many people notice that you broke the unwritten rule? So, another thing an introvert understands is there's safety in numbers. So I called my best friend at the time, her name's Allie. I said, Allie, this is what I have to do. I need you to do it with me. So what we did, I said, this is my plan. We are going to dress up in our PJs, and at 10:50, we're going to walk into McDonald's and we are going to demand breakfast. Now, McDonald's, of course, has quit serving breakfast at the time, so I'm breaking two rules. I'm showing up in my pajamas, and I'm demanding breakfast at the time that I know that they do not serve it. So we walk in to McDonald's, you know, and it's like 1994, all right? So my PJs are this huge, fuzzy nightdress that goes down here and it has a big fuzzy bear on it. Like, it's hairy. All right? And I think it might even have a nightcap that flops around. All right? And I have these big fluffy slippers on. She's got her nighties on. And we go in there and I said, I want some breakfast. Ma'am, we're not serving breakfast. So slam down the counter. I want breakfast. I just got up. And I need some breakfast. And Allie's like, yeah, we need breakfast. We just got out of bed. Can't you see? We just got out of bed. We have to have breakfast. I'm sorry, ma'am. We do not serve breakfast. And of course, everybody's staring at us at this point. This is exactly what we wanted, right? This was the project. It was a success, all right? We were peculiar in that situation. Every time we break what culture expects of us, we become peculiar. We stick out. People believe there's something wrong with those people. All right, that's what being peculiar is about. The scripture calls us out to be holy, holy like God is, different. The scripture calls us out to be different, calls us out to be peculiar. Different than what the culture expects us to be. But we don't like to stick out. We would rather blend in for the most part. And it puts us in a sticky situation. Because then we have to make choices and we often fail because it takes intention and awareness to become peculiar. Now we know that each one of us, God created different. We're peculiar anyway. Everyone unique to their own. None of us are the same. our fingerprints are different, our genetics is different, our hair is different, our size is different. Everything about us is different. There isn't a person on the planet that is like any of us sitting here. Even if we are identical twins, if we had an identical twin, there would be something peculiar. Because always, even with identical twins, their personalities are different. So even if you looked similar to someone, your personality could be completely different. You're peculiar just by being you. And yet we spend most of our life trying to look like everybody else. Isn't that interesting? But God calls us out to be set apart, to be holy, to be peculiar, to be different. That everything we say and do proclaims God. Now, in the scripture that I just read, it talks about being the body of Christ. You are the body of Christ and individually parts of it. Usually, when the Bible uses you, it's plural, you. You. Not just you and you and you, but all of you together. For instance, in Leviticus, God says to God's people, I will walk among you and be your God, and you will be my people. You hear that plural you, that you are to be peculiar. You are to be holy. You are to be set apart. You are to look different than everyone else because you are to proclaim with everything you say and do something about me, something about God. But oftentimes we do not do that because the culture, the voice of the culture, is so very loud. Louder than that still small voice in what God is calling us to do. But what is that uniqueness that makes us different? Paul ends the passage that I just read to you, I will show you a more excellent way. He goes on to talk about gifts of the Spirit, that we're all one body, that because we're all unique and when we're all different, when we come together, we're a united whole and we each benefit the other. All right? So when one of you is missing, and there are some that are missing today, right? We're not all gathered here. There's some people that are usually here that are missing. It's like missing a toe, missing a leg, missing an eye, missing a nose. That every part of the member of your body is extremely important. And when a part of your body is missing, you know. When one of us is hurting, the rest of us hurts. How many of you thought that you were just going to die when you stubbed your toe? Your whole body hurts. It's not just your toe that hurts. It's like your whole body screams out in pain. Your body understands this concept. All right? When one of you rejoices, you all rejoice. Because we're one, is what Scripture is proclaiming us to be. We each have different gifts. We don't all have the same gift. We're not all teachers. We're not all preachers. We're not all this and we're not all that. Because if we were all the same, we wouldn't benefit one another. We wouldn't need one another. We could just all go our separate ways and be self-sufficient. But that is not how God created us to be. God created us to need one another, to build up one another. And Paul says there is even a more excellent way. Do you know what follows 1 Corinthians chapter 12? What is it? The love chapter, chapter 13. The love chapter. That's right. I will show you a more excellent way. Paul goes on. Let me tell you what Paul says. Chapter 13, if I speak in tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions and I have hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. This is the more excellent way. Love. Love makes us distinct. Love makes us peculiar. And we're not talking about romantic love. We're talking about a different kind of love. A love that is proactive. A love that makes decisions. A love that is a verb. A love that says, I'm going to do this. I may not like you right now, but I'm going to do this because I love you. Love marks our life. It becomes who we are as a people. Not just as individuals, but as a people. Now, I think it's interesting that God calls us out to be a particular kind of people. We are to be different than the rest of the world. The rest of the world doesn't quite understand because the world lives for self. You can look at typical advertisements and you can tell that the culture lives for self. Buy this and you'll be happy. Everybody else will be envious. You'll be happy. You want things that other people want. You do. Because it will make you happy. It will make you unique. It will make you stand out. That's a lie. Because when we go after these things, really in our hearts, we want to be like everybody else. We either want to be like everybody else or we want to be better than everybody else. And the reason we go after them is because we think that everybody else is going after the same thing. But God is calling us to be different. God is calling us to love not for our own benefit, but for the benefit of the body, of the world, to be peculiar and strange, to give things up, to be generous, to be kind, when it's hard to be generous, when it's hard to be kind. And the reason God calls us to do this together instead of as individuals is because it is hard. We need people to help us along the way, to call us out, to say, Pastor, that wasn't very nice. To say, hey, you kind of need to work on this, to help one another, not in a mean way, but in an uplifting way. Let me help you out. I see you're having a hard time. Let me help you out in this. To do these things together. Right now I'm reading a book on how to be perfect. It's about a church whose 20 members and their pastor decide to live out the book of Leviticus in their own way. And basically the book of Leviticus is calling out the people to be holy. And what they're finding out is that God is challenging these people to be holy, to live sacrificially. Remember last week we talked about being a holy and living sacrifice to the Lord? It's just be willing to sacrifice everything and anything to be with God. To not take God's presence for granted like we often do. But that we don't earn it, but we know that even though grace is free, it is extremely costly. It may be a gift to us, but it cost a great sacrifice in order for us to receive it. That gift of Jesus Christ, that suffering on the cross, that death was costly. And on a daily basis, we take it for granted. In the book of Leviticus, it's teaching the people, don't take my presence for granted. So you will do these things every single day. Every single day you will bring me offerings. You will see death every single day. You will understand what your sins cost every single day. You will see this. and you will remember that you are a holy and distinct people, and I'm calling you out to be different every single day. We don't live with those reminders every single day. So we even have to work at it even more to be ever so mindful of what God's presence in our life cost, because it was a free gift that God gave us joyfully. We're entering into the season of Lent. You've heard me, joke around about eating a lot of pancakes on Tuesday, which has a long history in and of itself, and then coming back on Wednesday, which Wednesday starts the very beginning of Lent. Lent is a season of introspection, to remember who we are in regards to who God is, the perfect time to remind ourselves not to take God's presence for granted, to remember what God's presence cost. Though it may be a free gift for us, it is an exquisite, costly gift that we cannot earn and that we can never repay. And this gift marks us as who we are. So usually in Lent, we give something up or we make a change. All right? It's different than a New Year's resolution. It's something that through the 40 days of Lent reminds us of the sacrifice God gave for us. Some of us use it to build better habits. Some of us use it as a great sacrifice. Some of us give up chocolate so that we're reminded of the sacrifice. It feels like a sacrifice. So all through Lent, instead of thinking about Jesus, we're craving chocolate. All right? It messes with us psychologically. All right, every time we give something up that is precious to us, it messes with our head. But really, what the sacrifice is supposed to be about is to bring you closer to God and closer to each other. Let me read you this out of How to Be Perfect. And he explains a little bit better of what this sacrifice is supposed to mean during the Lenten season. He says, the Hebrew word translated as sacrificial offering comes from the verb meaning to bring near. But because we equate sacrifice so often with giving up, we often miss its deeper meaning. Giving up elicits feelings of resentment and deprivation. You give up chocolate for Lent, and all you think about is the chocolate you're not eating. You give up going to the beach for going to church, and all you do is think about sand and sun during the sermon. How many of you are doing that right now? Leviticus thwarts such psychology by emphasizing sacrifice not as giving up, but as giving to. Instead of deprivation leading to resentment, sacrifice puts its focus on generosity and humility for the sake of embrace. Giving to accentuates the recipient, thereby bringing joy to receiver and giver alike. God loves a cheerful giver. So does everybody. So, as you think about going into this Lenten season, what can you give to God or give to the people around you this Lenten season? Instead of a giving up of something, what can you give cheerfully? And since we're doing this in community, this is your homework. In the next couple of days, Lent starts on Wednesday, so you only have till Wednesday to make up your mind. All right? What can you give? And can you do it communally? Can you invite some of the people around you to live out this Lenten season with you by doing the same thing? All right? So how can you bless God and bless someone else this Lenten season in community? Instead of thinking of giving up something that you really love, or think about how you can bless your own self, like, oh, I'm going to give up whatever. I'm going to go on a diet, right, to bless myself. Maybe I can change some of my own habits. How can you give so that it benefits someone else in community? So that when you're in community and it gets tough, you can call them up and say, hey, I'm having issues today. I really lost it today. Can you get an accountability group around you? Because that's how the body of Christ is supposed to work. We're here to support one another. So this Lent, our goal for each other is to be a blessing, to live out that covenant that was given to Abraham. You are blessed to be a blessing, and to live it out in community, the plural you. I called you out to be my people, distinct and holy. How can you in community show love to God with all that you are and love your neighbor as yourself, as the plural you? That's going to be our goal this Lenten season. That's your challenge. So think about that. Have some conversations as you think about how you can come together to do that. And I look forward to hearing what's going on as we journey together. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. As the band gets